again, my brothers and my sisters, in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, where, despite all that goes on in this place, Jesus Christ is Lord. That means that He's above it all, He's over it all, He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You know, that means that, you know, if you got a king, well, He's the King of that king. That means if you have a Lord, He's the Lord of that Lord. That means that He's above it all. And in that process of Him being above it all, despite what the world does to try to exalt itself, throw its weight around, push its agendas, all of that, keep something in mind. Every person on this entire planet is but dust. We were made out of dust, we're made out of dirt, and every one of us becomes dirt again when this life is over, as far as your physical, natural body is concerned. You can be the richest man on the face of this planet, you're going to be rotten in the ground in 100 years. You can be the poorest man on the face of this planet, you're still going to be rotten in the ground in 100 years. Your body, that is, the natural body that you now live in, the natural body that allows you to, in this dimension, hear this message with the ears that God created and the senses that God gave you to be able to hear and to understand, the God-given senses that you have that allow you to hear this message, in 100 years, all of those inside the natural body are going to be in the ground. And the spirit and the soul that lives within that body that you're in right now will continue on. And the question is, where will they continue on? Will your spirit and soul be born into life and be filled with truth and light and be in a place where that is what's there? Or will they go on to a place where you've chosen to be part of the lie and darkness and deception and evil? You know, I don't understand how a person can think that they can be wicked and cruel and evil and conniving and deceptive and a liar, and how they think that they can then later on inherit the kingdom of God. You know, I was listening to a story recently about a very famous man in the world who, when this guy was dying, how he begged the doctors, you know, that he would not die, and just asked them to save him. He said, and he was so scared, so terrified to die. Because though somebody's famous, yet they know in themselves whether they are ready to meet their maker, whether they're ready to end this life and all that it is, and to go on from here or not. And if they're not, you are eternally screwed. Yes, absolutely. 100% for all eternity, you done screwed yourself. You know why? Because, hey, it's choice involved in this thing. You can choose life, you can choose light, you can choose truth, or you can choose the lie, and you can choose the deception, and you can choose to become part of the world system. You can choose to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. You can choose to destroy the earth. You can choose to be a horrible, horrible human being. Yeah. And you get the consequence of those choices. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that he reaps. You know, sometimes people are always upset and they're like, oh, how can God, you know, God is punishing me for this, God is punishing me for that. You know what? A lot of things that people get punished for, quote unquote, it's just them reaping in their own life what they've sown. Oh, I know. You don't. A lot of people don't like hearing that. A lot of people, their own stupidity is what's caused their own heartbreak. You know, there's a proverb. It's Proverb 19, chapter 19, first couple of verses. It says, somewhere in the start of Proverb 19, it says that a man's ways destroys his own life, yet his heart rages against God. Think about that one. A man's own ways destroys his own life, and yet his heart rages against God. How many people go and make stupid decisions, stupid choices, do not consult God, do not seek His will, do not seek His counsel, do not go into the Word and ask for His guidance, do not honor godly people that would seek to help them. And then what happens is that their own ways destroy their own life, and yet their heart rages against God. And yet they get mad at God. They get mad at God because they've screwed up their own life. You know, He gave it to us in the Word to choose life. And yet when people choose death, when they choose, what do you think you're going to reap? If you sow death, what do you think you're going to reap? If you put death into the ground, what do you think you're going to get back? How many people sow death on a regular basis? They destroy the world around them. They destroy the people around them. They speak death into other people's lives. Oh, here, let's just make it really simple. The words that come out of their mouth destroy the lives of other people. The tongue is a deadly evil. It's got that power to cut through bone and marrow. That tongue inside of your mouth can speak life, and can speak truth, or can speak evil, deception, corruption, manipulation, gossip. Oh my gosh, did you know that gossip is evil? That gossip is hellish? That when you live in a place where you gossip, that you are doing something that is against the very will of God? Talebearer. A gossip, that the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into a person's inner parts. You hear that gossip, and it's juicy, and it's something about somebody's life. You don't know if it's true or not, but you listen. And in listening to that, you allow that to destroy another person in your own mind. And if you are a person that sits there and speaks that and spews that, you destroy other people. You destroy them. You throw arrows and axes and anything sharp that you can at those people. And for what? For what? You know, God doesn't gossip. No, He tells the truth, and He tells it like it is. That's why they didn't like Jesus. He just spoke it like it was. He spoke the truth. Gossips are abounding around the world. And you know, there's entire publications dedicated to that, to the maligning of other people. Now, here's the thing. Gossip is a kissing cousin to lies. And the devil is the father of all lies. That's what the scripture says. So when you lie, what you are saying is that your father is the devil. When you lie, when a lie comes out of your mouth, what you are stating overtly to the entire creation is that your father and who you're aligned with is the devil, is Lucifer, is the one that will spend all eternity in hell. How do you like that? Yeah, when you lie, that's what you're saying. Because you know what Jesus said? I am the way that... What? Truth! Truth! I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So no one comes to the Father but by what? By truth. No one comes to the Father except by truth. So if you're a liar, you messed up. When you're a liar, you're going the wrong way. Directionally, you are completely in the opposite direction of truth. And you know in yourself that you are. You know, that's why when a child tells a lie, he'll put his hand to his mouth. You know, I mean, sometimes when people, when they do questioning sessions sometimes, or they're trying to, or psychologists when they're talking to somebody and somebody tells a lie, they do different things. And a lot of times it has to do with somebody bringing their hand to their mouth, because they want to cover. It's just a reflex. Because inside of them, they know that shouldn't have come out of their mouth. But it did. You notice that with kids. As people get older, they learn to tolerate it. They learn to mask it a little better. But they still have these signs that they are lying. You know, the human body has different tells when it lies. Different things that it shows up, different things that it reveals, because there's something inside your own physical being that revolts, because you were made in God's image and God's likeness. And when you lie, you do something that's against your very creation. You do something that's against the very nature of your created being. When you lie, you are spitting in the face of your own creation. Because you are doing something contrary to what it was that you were made. You were made in the image and likeness of God, and God is truth. He's love, He's truth. You spit on yourself every time you lie. So don't get upset at other people. Don't get offended. Look, every time you lie, you spit in your own face. And you proclaim the devil as your father. Yeah. You know, hey, why don't we just tell it like it is? That's what we do here. Because you know what? We're not taking up an offering. And we don't need you to like what we say here. So just, hey, shut it off. Tune out. You don't have to listen. You can go back to your delusional, whatever it is that you want to, it's fine. Or if you want truth, hey, we'll keep talking about it. We'll share it with you. Why? Because truth sets you free. And there is a set of people out there. There is a set of people out there that do want truth. There is a set of people out there that do want life. And for those that want it, you'll find it. For those that don't want it, hey, you ain't going to find it. You're not going to find it. If what you want is truth, you get it. If what you want is the light, that's what you find. So, you know, Jesus said to ask, to seek, and to knock. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. So, you know, right now, where people are in the world is they're in a situation where they're still trying to figure out what they're doing, where they're at. And, so, you know, they're trying to figure out what they're doing, where they're at. As countries, as places, as individuals. Now, you know, the world is going through a state of flux. The world is going through a window of time where a lot of things are changing. You know, a lot of things are I mean, nations that were prosperous, all of a sudden are not. You know, nations that were thriving, all of a sudden find themselves struggling. Now, do you ever wonder how that happens? See, here's one thing. The world is not going to keep any of its promises to anybody. See, we already established the fact that the devil is the father of all lies. He was a liar from the beginning. So, every promise that the devil has ever made to anybody turns out to be a lie. So when people are told and they pledge their allegiance to the world and the world system for profit, for gain, for whatever benefit it is that they think they're going to get, as soon as your soul is given over, that's it. It has no obligation to keep its promise. You get that initial thing, that whatever it was that you thought you wanted, and then you find out how miserable that you are, and now you're part of that system. You're working your way up that pyramid. You are cutting other people and being cut yourself, fighting, devouring, doing all of that day in and day out, slogging it out with other people, trying to find ways and means to prop yourself up, trying to be exalted in their system, trying to lift yourself and be somebody, right? For what? You know how many people have come before you and have been completely forgotten? Do you know that? Do you know how many billions of people have walked the face of this earth and nobody knows who they were? Do you know that? And you know, for most people, that's the case. You know, there were some of the wealthiest men that have ever lived, their memories have just been erased from history. Completely. They don't matter. Inconsequential. And in their day, they thought they were something. In their day, they lifted themselves up. In their day, they were the big shots. They called the shots. Wine, women, and song at their disposal. Power, possession, pleasure, position, the P's, all of them, yeah, they were theirs. But for what? For a window and a season of time. You know, you can save yourself a lot of life and a lot of thinking that some things will bring you happiness by just reading the book of Ecclesiastes. You read that book and you will see the end of it all for most paths that people choose to take in this life. So the people that think that possession will bring them happiness, you find out, nope, it doesn't. It's meaningless. Pleasure, position, all of the things that people thought. Look, the richest man that ever lived was Solomon. And that riches and that wealth, and God also gave him wisdom. And in what he had and what he possessed, he went and tried it all. Tried it all. I mean, the man had 1,000 women. And during that point in time, there was, he had, 700 wives, 300 concubines. That was the way that they did stuff. And, you know, there was no shortage for anything that he could think of, anything that he could desire, anything that he could put his mind to, he had it. And the conclusion of that entire matter for him was meaningless, meaningless is all meaningless. He said the conclusion of the entire matter is, fear the Lord and keep his commandments. This is the entire duty of man. This is the whole duty of man. Now, I mean, $95 billion, $100 billion, not sure what the worth of him would be in modern day currencies, especially with the price of gold being what it is. It's probably a whole lot more than that. But if you could get the experience and the life lesson of the richest man that ever lived, you know, I mean, people write books, and there are best-selling books on the bookshelves of how to make money and how to do this and how to be a success and all of that. And you get the richest, wealthiest man that's ever lived, the most successful in worldly terms man that ever lived, and he gave an entire summary of what life is and all the different things you could try, and gave a synopsis for what's the most important thing. So the pinnacle of the pinnacle of men in the natural world that's ever been. And he gave a summary. And you know what? Why is that not taught? With all of the business writings out there, with all of the motivations and all of the things about people prioritizing life and finding the right stuff to do and all of that, why don't they know those two verses? Why haven't they read those two verses? Look, whether you follow Christ or not, it's incredible wisdom. You know, the book of Proverbs, the one right before Ecclesiastes, there's 31 Proverbs there. And, you know, the best, some of the best business professors in the entire world will tell you that the principles contained therein are the foundations of good business practices. And, I mean, if you mastered the book of Proverbs, you would be an incredible success in natural terms. Gives you advice about relationship, gives you advice about business, gives you advice about dealing with people. It's just incredible. It's all right there, 31 chapters. Read it. You know, the Bible is, you know, how many people, this is one thing that's incredible to me, how many people oppose the Bible that have never read the book. Here's a challenge for you. Before you go and oppose and resist something, why don't you spend a little bit of time trying to figure out what it's actually saying? Why don't you? Before you throw something at somebody or something that you don't know, you don't understand, why don't you spend a little bit of time trying to understand the position by which they come from? You know, there was that scripture, even Paul did this. You know, there's a brother out there, a brother in Christ, that recently wrote us, and, you know, and God bless you, brother. You wrote us and you said, you know, that, you know, you read, and you like to read and understand about, you know, different viewpoints in the world and different cultures and different mindsets. And, you know, the thing is, like, and you're wondering, is that bad? Is that wrong? You know, hey, look, great, awesome, read, understand, but keep the filter of the mind of Christ to help guard you, because also guard your heart, because out of it comes the issues of life. So allow God to lead and guide you, but yes, learn and understand. That's what Paul did. And you know, when Paul went into the Greek city and he saw an altar to an unknown God, and he discussed with the people there, he discussed their poetry, he discussed their readings, their literature, and he said, you know, and then he even met them where they were at. He said, even while I was walking through your city, I saw an altar to an unknown God. And that which you don't know, I am going to make known to you. And he met people where they were at. And how rarely will anybody meet somebody where they're at? You know what God did for us? You know what the Son of God did for us? He came down into this world and met us where we were at. He came down and put his feet on the ground and met us where we were at. Was clothed in human flesh, walked among us, ate the same food that we eat, drank the same water that we drink, lived life with us and among us, and met us where we are at. And, you know, that need to understand your fellow man of where they're coming from, and from that place, then to share the truth that God's revealed to you. You know, I know for myself, hey, God's revealed some things to me, shown some things to me, and God has blessed me with the opportunity so many times just to talk to somebody. And, you know, now there's some people sometimes, hey, I'm not supposed to talk to them, that's fine. I know the ones that God leads me to, and I know the ones that, you know, that's not my call. But with those that God's led me to, I know when we speak to them what it is that God has. And, you know, so often what I've noticed is that in those times, God has prepared that person's heart and also mine to, you know, because he quickens me with what it is that they need. But that situation, that point, that moment, so often it's just meeting that person in the middle of what it is that's going on inside of their own heart, their own struggle, their own life. And, you know, that's what God does. You know, that's why, too, so many of you, when you listen in, that you listen because this meets you where you're at. And it's not, look, I will be the first to tell you, this is not me. This is the Spirit of God within me that meets you where you're at. And His Spirit resides in you. If you be one of His and have turned yourself over to Him, His Spirit resides in you, strengthens you, enables you, quickens you, does that which needs to be done in you, meets you where you are at. You know, God loves us, loves you, and He will find a way. If your heart is set towards Him, He will find a way to meet you, to help you, to support you, to bring you out, and to pull you through. And rather than complaining and whining and vexing yourself, why not bow your knee and receive from Him His plan and purpose for you? You know, I've said this before, rather than trying to get out of stuff, seek for the Lord to take you through. Now, at the same time, I've got to also clarify that a bit. There is times where God has some things that, hey, you missed a turn somewhere along the way, and you're in a spot that He doesn't want you to be in. And in those situations, yeah, you got to move. But He will reveal that. Again, the solution comes when you face Him. You need to set your face towards Him, not towards your situation. You know the story of Peter in the boat with the disciples and Jesus walking on the water is a great example. Jesus, the disciples were crossing the sea, and as they were rowing across, or as they were sailing across, there was a storm that came up, and the storm was tossing and turning everything all over the place, and they thought that they were going to just die in that storm. It was so terrible. And in the middle of the storm, because Jesus was not in the boat with them, in the middle of the storm, Jesus came walking across on the water. You know, a miracle. Now, God has power over the natural elements and demonstrated it, and he was walking on the water to catch up to these guys, and when they saw him, it scared them. They thought they saw a ghost. When they saw him, it scared them. And they were crying out. But then Jesus said, "Hey, don't be afraid, it's me." I would have loved to have seen that. "Don't be afraid, it's me." And what did Peter say? "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out and walked on the water too. And right there, something that you got to know. As long as you put your eyes and fix your eyes on Jesus, you can do the miraculous too. You can do what he does. Jesus said, "I only do what I see the Father doing." And so if you only do what you see Jesus doing, you can do what Jesus did. Simple as that. If you only do what you see Jesus doing, you will do what Jesus did. So Peter was doing what Jesus did, so he ended up doing the same thing. And Peter was walking on the water too. And the place where Peter got stuck, the place where Peter got in trouble, was when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at everything else going on around him. And in that moment, his faith disappeared. You know, if you take your eyes off of Christ in the middle of all that's going on right now in the world, and if you focus your eyes on the world and the things of the world, your faith will disappear. Your faith will evaporate. If you put your eyes on everything else going on around you right now, your faith is going to go away from you so fast it's going to make your head spin. That's why you need to keep your eyes on Christ. Set your heart on things above. You know, so many of the scriptures keep coming back to the exact same thing. Set your heart on things above. Store up your treasure in heaven. Have the mind of Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Things that you need. Basically, it just keeps going, going, going. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. First commandments. All of it points you towards keeping your eyes on Christ. And if you would keep your eyes on Christ, you would do the miraculous. You would live the miraculous. You will be the miraculous. You are the miraculous. It's not something waiting to happen. You put your eyes on Christ right now, and your life is miraculous at this moment. And it will be always for every moment that you breathe while you live in this life. Period. Period. You put your eyes on Christ and you never take them off of him, and you will be a living, walking miracle all the days of your life. And that, my friends, is good news. And with that, hey, love you. God bless you guys. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com, or send us a note, or say hi on our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix, one word, on Facebook, and you'll find us. We love you guys. Keep on keeping on. We'll talk to you really soon. All right, bye.